Well, we'll get into the scriptures tonight, and we're looking at Exodus chapter 31. We're going to look at the first five verses and look at a fellow named Bezaleel, and we're specifically look at these few verses about his life and look at a wonderful, wonderful example and testimony. Exodus, second book of the Bible, chapter 31, as you find your place there, and we'll get started as soon as you do, and we'll look into this wonderful man, this craftsman, this artist, if you will, this servant of the Lord who didn't preach, wasn't a prophet, wasn't a priest, but certainly served the Lord. So looking at Exodus 31, verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and the manner of all workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship." We may look at another verse or two, but we'll stop there for the night. And I want to look at this man named Bezaleel. He's really a favorite character of mine, not because of what you'd normally think. Somebody might think, well, yeah, but what about the prophet Jeremiah? What about all of these others? What about John the Baptist in the New Testament? But I love Bezaleel. What a wonderful testimony he had, what a wonderful way that God used him. And the reason I guess I like him is because there have been so many people, I've pastored here for almost 4 years now, I guess, but there have been so many people who play the part of Bezaleel, who aren't Moses, who aren't the ones that get top billing, so to speak. Their name's not on the church sign. They're not on the ones that get invited to a Bible conference, but they have been the ones that just serve the Lord and get His work done. And I want to preach about this Bezaleel for a little bit. Father, be with us now in these next moments, I pray. And I pray that You would encourage my friends, dear Lord. And I pray that each and every one of us would go out of here realizing that all of us have a job to do. And since we have a job to do, dear Lord, there's a biblical way that we're supposed to do that job. And I pray that not only would people decide tonight that they need to do a job, but that they would conclude tonight how they're going to do it. I pray that You would convict, dear Lord. I pray that You would encourage, and I pray that You would comfort in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have this wonderful introduction to somebody who's mightily used of God, Bezaleel. And we often think about people like prophets, Jeremiah. We think about priests. We think about the people that kings that would have been used of God and how God would have led them. And well, they should have followed the leading of God and gone and done what God wanted to do. But at any given time, there's more people, normal people, I might say, than there are preachers and prophets and etc. And I guess that would make people like me abnormal, that not the norm. Instead, you'd be the person that was up there not like the normal. But we look at Bezaleel, a great worker for God, a workman with his hands. And I want to show us all a plan that God has for us as we look at Bezaleel. I think we can pick out some truths out of these verses, and I trust it'll be a good blessing to both of us. But I want you to look at verse number 1 and 2 as we see here. The Lord spake to Moses and he said, I've called by name Bezaleel. I see, first of all, that Bezaleel was called of God. Remember, this wasn't a preacher, wasn't a prophet, wasn't a priest, wasn't a king, wasn't somebody who was going to go and make the sacrifices. This wasn't somebody who was going to go preach the sermon, wasn't somebody who was going to go wash his hands in the laver and then go and put things on the altar. If somebody surrenders to preach in this service, I say praise the Lord, because I watch our country and I see the need that we have. Well, not only our country, but around the world. But I see the need here in our country. And I say anytime that we have a young man, sometimes I'm invited to preach somewhere, maybe to a Bible college or something. And I want to challenge each and every one of them. Men, if God would allow you, go out and serve and build churches and go work bus routes and just go reach people for Christ. And so if somebody surrenders to be a preacher, I say hallelujah. But if somebody loves computers and they want to be a programmer that loves God and helps their pastor reach the world, I heard a preacher out in California, he said this. He said, everybody ought to either be a church planter, because that's really the way that church work gets done for the Lord. You go into an area that there isn't a church like there is here, but there isn't a church. You plant one, and then out of that church, you just go and you take the gospel to everywhere. He said, everybody ought to be a church planter. He says if they're not going to be a church planter, then they ought to find some place that they can go be a support and a helper to that church planter so that together they can go see more souls saved. And at first I thought that was rather simplistic, but then as you look about it, as you think about it, that's exactly right. We ought to labor together as you go out to our various spots tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday, and we go out, all of us ought to be taking the message of this church that was planted 245 years ago almost, and this church was planted. The message was that Jesus saves, and it's been ringing out through these hills ever since it was started. And the people that have come along have either been the pastor, as Pastor Preacher Lasty was for those years, or they've been somebody that come alongside and say, well, I'm not going to be the pastor, but I'm going to be somebody that helps and goes forward. And so if somebody surrenders to be a preacher, hallelujah. But if somebody surrenders to be an accountant or a computer programmer or a salesman or a business owner or a developer or a real estate personnel or whoever it is, I say praise the Lord for each and every one of those. And may we all labor together to get the work of God done in your job, but also here. And so God had given Moses for the plans of the tabernacle. If you'd have read all that whole section there, you'd see that God gave him the plans for the brass laver and the altar and the candlestick and the ark and the showbread, table of showbread, all of that stuff, but that revealed a problem. Moses knew what God wanted, but most likely Moses didn't know how to do what God wanted in that instance. And so he needed somebody who was gifted by God, called of God, to be that worker with his hands. So God calls Bezalel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God likens the church of God to a body. Some parts are beautiful and regal, and they get to be the ones that swoop in and everybody notices them, but other parts are not so lovely or comely, as the Bible talks about it. I didn't realize this until I was studying for this message or another one sometime, that they say that there, if you have a second toe, you got your big toe, the big boy there on this corner of your foot, the next one, your second toe, if that's longer than the big toe by a certain amount, then that means you're more likely to be involved in a violent crime. I have no clue what that has to do with anything, but statistics will back it up. You Google it later. Not now. Later. Apparently it's called Morton's toe. Who Morton was, I again don't know, but that's what it's called. But if you have a toe longer, second one than the first one, and you're not a criminal... I'm not making this up. You know, it's bad when a pastor has to say, I'm not lying now, I'm preaching to you. I'm telling you the truth. But if you're not a criminal, statistics will say that you are, but if you aren't, if you curb that, then you have a good chance of being part of the royal family. Because a lot of them have that. So it's either going to go one way or the other for you. But since you all, most of you are born here in the States, I doubt the royal family is going to be a part of your history, part of your future. I had a cousin that he was in a motorcycle accident. He got his foot caught on a stump that he rode over, and it's hard to think about, but tore his big toe off. That's not even a joke. That sounds like Patch the Pirate, one of those CDs, the big toe. You know, there was some long time ago. If you watch Patch the Pirate, listen to it. But this cousin of mine, he had to go through therapy to learn how to walk again because he had one of his big toes was off. They had to surgically take the rest of it off because it got tore up so bad. But every part of the body is important. And back to our story, Moses wasn't the only one that God was concerned about doing his job. God needed a Bezalel. And so we see that God says in verse number 1, he told Moses, he says, I've called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. So first of all, I see that God not only needed Moses or wanted Moses, but he also needed Bezalel. But he also had people that not only after Bezalel fashioned those things with his hands, they also had people that would come after him and would drape some of those things with the curtains in that tabernacle. And he wanted each one of them called by him to do the job that he had gotten. I listened to a message the other night while I was mulching up leaves in our front yard, and this pastor I had great respect for. He said his name, and he said, He said, my name's Tim Rule, and I do this at their church. It was the guy that's coming next week, his dad, Tim. And he said, he challenged the audience that was listening. He says, I want you to say your name inwardly, in your mind, and then this is what I do. He was trying to get them to see that all of us ought to have a job. Everybody. You remember when Barney Fife was, Andy and them were trying to get him not to sing. Said, your throat's all swollen up. He says, you got something swollen up. And the doctor said, no, that's just my uvula. All God's children got a uvula. I don't know. That's what Barney Fife said. But I don't know about your uvula, but I know that all God's people are supposed to be doing something. Now, it all can't be preaching up here because we don't have enough room for everybody. But all of us are supposed to be doing something. And so we understand that Bezalel is called of God. He told Moses, he said, I've called him by name. And I think about the people that do stuff here at Buffalo Ridge. And some of the people that do things around Buffalo Ridge you don't even know about. They just do it for the glory of God. And there's people that, you know, I don't ever look at the money of what folks give, but I know that there's people that can't do anything else, or they're at such a stage in their life they're not doing anything else, but boy, they are getting behind the work with their finances, and they're asking God to bless their businesses, and as God blesses their businesses, they're paying for missionaries, they're paying for things around the church, and they're working. I see Bezalel was called of God. But look on in verse number 3. Not only was he called of God, but now we also see he was filled with the Spirit. Verse 3, and I've filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding. Not only was he called of God, but he was filled with the Spirit of God. And Bezalel was this person that says, I don't want to be building these things. I don't want to be fashioning this candlestick. I don't want to be making this brazen altar or this laver. I don't want to be doing these things just in my own flesh. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, let's remember who we're talking about here, somebody in the Old Testament versus somebody in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost of God would come on people and equip them for a specific task and then maybe come off of them. That's why David was saying, please don't take not that Holy Spirit from me. We don't say that. The Lord, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me, because the Holy Spirit comes in this age and dwells within you and never leaves after you're saved. But there is a very truth to the fact of that you can pray for the power of the Holy Spirit and the fullness of His power when you go to do something for the Lord. And so that would be the equivalent of that. As you teach a Sunday school class, there's one difference between somebody who's mediocre and some class that was just wonderfully blessed, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. There's one difference between somebody who says, I'm going to have to quit the bus ministry. It just doesn't seem like it works anymore. Doesn't seem like things are going good. And there's a difference between that and the person who just says, well, the Lord has been blessing. The Lord has been doing this. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit of God as He comes upon somebody. And you say, I'm not very much, but Lord, you could empower me and make me something that you would be pleased with. And so we still have this option and this need and this command. The Bible says, be ye filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, the Bible says, but be ye filled with the Spirit. So Bezalel was filled with the Spirit. There was a professor that stood, and he didn't have a plastic cup like this, but he had a glass, and it was empty. And so he asked his students, he says, well, how could I get all the air out of that glass? They had different ideas, but one of them, he said, well, you could hook up a vacuum to the top of it and seal it off, and you could evacuate, you could vacuum out the air. And the lecturer, the professor said, if you did that, then the glass would break because that air's holding out. If you sucked all that out there, that pressure would come in. They went around for several rounds and guessed in what it was. And so he reached and got a pitcher of water and filled the glass up. He said, now the glass is empty of air because it's full of water. And there's a way for us to be emptied out of ourselves. And that's for, as the old timers used to say, being full of God. You say, I'm already saved. You got God then. But there's a difference between being saved and have the Holy Spirit indwelling you than there is for you to be filled with the Spirit, meaning that you've tried to empty everything out. Say, Lord, fill me. In D.L. Moody, you know, Moody Bible College, Moody Institute, all of the fame up there. In his fame, he was asked to come to England and do a campaign of preaching meetings. And like everywhere else, there was a group of preachers who were hosting him or were thinking about hosting him. And so some did not like the idea of this American coming over and preaching to us, and we've got good preachers here, and why would we need somebody to come across the pond and come over here and preach? And one of them voiced the concerns or the objections of the others, and he says, why do we want to have D.L. Moody come? Does he have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit? And one of the other preachers that was very in favor of the meeting and had been greatly influenced by Moody said, no, but the Holy Spirit has monopoly on him. And that's the way we ought to live, allowing the Holy Spirit to have a monopoly on us. And so Bezaleel was filled with the Spirit of God. And I'm asking you as a child of God, you say, I'm just a kid. I'm a teenager. I'm a young person. But are you filled with the Spirit of God? You say, Pastor, I don't know. What does that even mean? How do you get that way? It's less complicated than we think. If a saved individual knows the Lord, and they come and they confess everything they know to the Lord, Lord, I want to be completely right with you. And you say, Lord, would you fill me and use me? Would you turn to, let me see, Luke, I have to find my place here, Luke chapter 11 something. I know where it's out of my Bible, but I'll have to find the verse. Luke chapter 11, verse number 13. I look at this passage, I know where it's at, but I know where it's at on the page of my Bible, but I couldn't remember the reference. I look at this oftentimes before I come to preach here. I'll do it in my back of my office. Luke 11, verse 13. If ye then, being evil, this is on the tail end of that good father that if he asked an egg, would you offer him a scorpion? And Jesus is saying, if ye then, being evil, as we all are, some know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And there are people who go round and round and round wondering how to be filled with God, how to be filled with the Spirit. It's truly, sometimes we trip over the simplicity of it. You just confess all the things you know to God, get empty of you, and say, God, please fill me and use me. You don't have to be a preacher, you don't have to be a missionary, you don't have to be an evangelist. Bezaleel was not. But he was filled with the Spirit. And then lastly, as we look at the rest of verse number 3 and then of 4, we see not only was he called of God, and not only was he filled with the Spirit, but then he had a God-given wisdom, knowledge, and ability. Verse number 3, he says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all manner of workmanship. And then he says why he's done that, to devise cunning or useful, artful works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass. I want you to realize that God equipped Bezaleel for the task that he was going to do before he needed to do it. And God may very well have given you an ability. And I challenge you to look for the opportunities to use that ability for the glory of God. Brother Shannon will teach this week and probably next week about some of the giving types, money types, and folks that the way that some of us might be. You understand that God positions you in a church and He puts you here so that you can be a blessing to lots of people. And I know that when I say things like that, you say, I know who you want me to be a blessing to. It's you. And it's not. I'm thankful for all the church does for me, but it's not me. We've got this whole area to reach. We're not so conceited and turned inward to say, well, we got to take care of all of us. No, we got to take care of the whole world, the Bible says, as John Wesley, who got in trouble for his outreach and got in trouble for preaching over in places that somebody else, that was their area. Those preachers back in those days would have parishes where you minister to those people, and he got outside of his, and when they got on to him, he said, the world is my parish. Well, the world's our command. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You say, don't you think some other people are responsible for part of the world? They are, and I'm glad to labor together with all of them. But what if none of them do all any of they're supposed to? We are supposed to be going out. And so you understand that God positions us. He knew when we would be here. He knew when we the need in this hour. He knew what this world would need. And He would send us out to reach this world with the gospel. And I see that Bezaleel had this God-given wisdom, knowledge, and ability that God gave it to him for the day when he would fulfill it. Bezaleel already had that knowledge. Bezaleel already was a worker. Bezaleel already had knowledge of how to build things and make things and fashion things. And he was just revving up, getting ready for when God would say, all right, boy, go to work. And God's done the same thing in this room. There's people in here that can wonderfully do things around here. One of my good friends that we served in Ohio, Mr. Bean, he oversaw our church property, and somebody asked me something, what about the roof here? What about this? Or what about this? I'd say, I don't know, ask Chris. I don't know, ask him. Why? Because he had such ability. God had already been preparing him. He had been a building supervisor, a maintenance supervisor for the county for years and years and years before that, and building inspector. And so he was just naturally fit to do that, and he loved the Lord. So why would I ask myself or somebody else who doesn't know what they're doing? Why wouldn't I let you do it? I think about here, Brother Bert does our money and does such a wonderful job. I don't write checks, and I don't monitor giving, and I don't have access to cash, and I don't do anything. Boy, that's bad. I don't get to do anything around here. But that's the way that I want it. That way nobody can say, boy, he was really sticky-handed about that. But Bert does a wonderful job. And so why on earth would we not use him and let him serve the Lord? And then with the leadership, some of the deacons, a couple of them are bankers, and one of them's this. And why wouldn't you use them and their ability and let God take what he's gifted them with and use it here at the church? And then other people who are in this church, you've been such a blessing to me. God's used you to grow businesses. And then you give ideas. You say, hey, what'd you think about this? And I say, praise the Lord, because so many good ideas come and I would have never had them. I'm just trying to tell us that Bezaleel, not only was he filled with the Spirit of God, but God gave him the knowledge and the ability and the wisdom, and God was going to use that to build this tabernacle. Bezaleel didn't know it. Moses didn't know it, but God knew it. My father-in-law, who's now up in years, but he's probably the most capable man I've ever met. He is able to build and fashion and just anything he would, building related, and he built the house that Amy was born, went home to when she was born, then built the house that she grew up in from the ground up, from everything, the roof, the brick, the everything, sheetrock, all of it. Now, I used to say about him when our kids were little, he's able to do all that. Now, used to say this, you old timers be the only ones to get, because the teenagers say, what? I said, if you want your VCR programmed, don't ask him. Ask our 4-year-old, she'll do it. And now the teenagers in here say, what, a VC, what? It was an old device back in the old days, in another dispensation, that had this little wheels that had a magnetic tape that went from one plastic wheel to another, and it turned, and as that turned, there was a magnetic head that read the little bits on there, and it showed a video and audio. That's what happened. It used to be before you had streaming. But my father-in-law could do anything building related, but he couldn't do those little nitpicky things, setting your clock on your microwave. But God used that precious man of God, my father-in-law, to literally, with his hands, let church buildings rise up out of the ground in West Virginia. It's a wonderful thing when God takes somebody, and he already knew what he was going to gift them in, and they say, I'm not just going to do this for the world, I'm going to do it for God. And God gifts people, not just preachers, for specific tasks. If you're in Exodus, look in Exodus chapter 36, and then I will close with this. It's 25 after. Exodus 36, verse 2. Here we see the progression that in Bezaleel, and then also in Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man, every wise-hearted man whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. So the progression here is from God to the heart of Bezaleel to the work for glory, for God's glory. From God to the heart of somebody, and then those hands go to work for the glory of God. Whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. From God to the heart to the work. So why would I get upset when somebody does something better than me? If I do, here's why. Pride. P-R-I-D-E. Because I get tired of somebody doing something better than me. So if somebody wants to come and they can out-preach me, or they can out-sing me, or they can out-usher me, or they can out-teach me, praise the Lord. Let's all serve the Lord together. And if somebody else doesn't have the gift you have, doesn't mean their gift is less or more important than yours. It means it's different. If we all had the same gifts, a bunch of us are unnecessary. If somebody's got the mouth of the south and they can just talk a tree down, and somebody else can't get up the nerve to say boo, and that person that talks says, man, that person won't say nothing. Well, that other one's probably saying, I wish he'd shut, or wish he'd be quiet. I was supposed to say that other word. So that loud mouth says, man, why don't that person speak up for themselves? And that one that's scared of their own shadow says, man, why don't that guy be quiet? Truth is, we need both of them. Need somebody to yell fire if there's a fire coming. Need the other one's got enough sense to figure out what to do when they yell fire. Okay, let's organize everybody and get them out there. Because usually I notice the people that are loudmouths don't organize so well, and the vice versa. But if somebody does all those things, wonderful. But tonight I give you these three things. God's calling you to do something. You may have already found it. You may very well already know, and I hope you do. Now, you may hone it, and you may tweak it, and you may get better at it, and we all should. But God has something He's calling all of us to do. It may not be what you're thinking of, because there's only so many positions at church. We don't have any more offices. We can't give anybody an office. We're using all the offices we have. So if you want an office of something, there won't be a door with your name on it. But everybody's got something they're called to do. God wants you to be filled with the Spirit while you do it. You may be the ambassador to whatever office you work in. You're the ambassador for God, Buffalo Ridge, wherever you work. Yesterday, we had people here on the property all because some of you invited, said, hey, why don't you bring your kids down? They're going to have a great time. Fun, candy, good time. Come on. Well, somebody took their job. And they took it seriously. So God has something He's calling you to do. God wants you to be filled with the Spirit while you do it. And God wants to give you the wisdom, the ability, and the knowledge to get it done. That's what I learned from Bezalel. I hope that he challenged your heart like he did mine. Father, be with us now as our prayer. Lord, I love Bezalel. Not that one, dear Lord. I don't know him, but I love him from the pages of your book. But Lord, I love Bezalels that work with me. Lord, I'm thankful for the Bezalels that text and encourage and say, hey, Pastor, and then fill in the blank with something. I love the Bezalels who are in the little kids' classes because I can't be down there, I'm up here. I love the Bezalels who climb up on those buses because, Lord, you know my heart is out there. I'd love to be a bus captain. I love the Bezalels who do the things that I don't do very well. I love the ones who figure out where every bit of money down to the last penny goes to of our church, because, Lord, that would drive me crazy. Lord, I'm thankful for the businessmen of this church that have given their business to you and said, Lord, if you bless, I'll follow. And I'll be a missionary to a different segment of folks. Lord, thank you for Bezalel. Help us to find our job and do it. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I told you that fellow I was listening to while I was mulching up my leaves the other night. He said, my name is Tim Rule, and I do this. If I asked you, my name is, and I do this. It doesn't have to be that you teach a certain class. Like I said, sometimes we're looking for something that's not there. My name is this. This is what I do for God. And I challenge, if you can't come up with something, that you offer a little prayer to the Lord. Lord, if you give me something, I'll do it. And I'll try to be filled with your Spirit while I do it. And I'll let you empower me and make me able for your glory. Would you stand together with me as the ladies play something through? And if God has spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you're here, you're a worker at this church, and you just want to pray and ask the Lord to continue to bless your ministry. Maybe you teach, preach, pray, serve, usher, greet. You'd like to come and ask the Lord to empower you, enable you. I'm going to ask Brother Dan to come and lead us in that song, 455, My Jesus, I Love Thee, as our hymn of invitation tonight. And may that be our prayer, My Jesus, I Love Thee. As he comes, let's all sing together. And if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you're here and you need to be born again. Would you step out and come? I never like to close a service, but what I don't ask, if you need to be saved, would you come? Some other spiritual need you have, you come. Thank you. You may be seated, and it's 7:32, and usually we're done about now, but I do have something special that I'd like for Brother Danny to come and share with us about from the deacons, and so I'd like to call our business meeting to order, and he's going to come and share a few things I met with the deacons about.